Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama. From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Tiller.
I love you on Friday. Yes.
You are so giddy.
I'm giddy, and I got hot takes. I'm spewing them left and right before the show.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Very pleasant.
Just to get your weekend going, Todd.
Ripster's at the board.
Yes.
Brother-in-law Colin is here.
Yes.
Doing his thing. Facebook Live. Check us out.
It's his last day.
How do we connect with that?
You go to Facebook, our Facebook page on Archangel Radio. It should come up in people's feeds. We're working on, and there it is. Colin's pointing to it right now.
Fantastic.
We have to thank Colin. He's been here for a couple weeks. He's got to leave and go back to Pittsburgh. So the tech help will
now, will everything
back.
Kind of
work.
Stay?
Mm-hmm.
Will it work? Nice.
Well, we're tweaking. We're tweaking it.
Yes. Today is Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
It is.
So the apparition that took place of the Blessed Virgin Mary to St. Simon Stock and the general of the Carmelite order back in 1251, she promised a special blessing for those who wear her scapular.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful devotion. We highly recommend it.
Yes. And in fact, if you get our e-blast this morning, we're going to send out just a little information about it and some click-through so you can read some more about it. And if you haven't been imposed into the whatever they call it. See, I lost the church word.
The church word. I love it. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
May the venerable intercession of the glorious Virgin Mary come to our aid, we pray, O Lord, so that, fortified by her protection, we may reach the mountain which is Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Ike's Beach Service, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, and Perdido Key. Enjoying fun in the sun with Ike's Beach Services, including paddle boards, parasailing adventures, and beach equipment rentals. Visit ikesbeachservice.com or call 251-948-3757.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, July 16th, 2021. Pope Francis issued a motu proprio, I practiced that too, on Friday, restricting masses celebrated in the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite. This was issued just hours ago, and Pope Francis made sweeping changes that his predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, made available the right of all priests to say masses using the Roman Missal of 1962. In an accompanying letter to bishops, Pope Francis explained, "In defense of the unity of the body of Christ, I am constrained to revoke the faculty granted by my predecessors. The distorted use that has been made of this faculty is contrary to the intentions that led to the granting of the freedom to celebrate the Mass from 1962. There will be lots more conversation on this. Just go to Catholic Twitter this morning.
That's going to get hot.
That is going to get very hot. More than 50 people have died in Germany as of Thursday night after severe flooding in Western Europe devastated several areas of the country. At least 11 people died in Belgium. As a result of the extreme weather, the flooding also affected the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Switzerland, and warnings have been issued in the area of France. This is a record level of precipitation that's not been recorded in 100 years.
Wow.
The death toll in South Africa has risen to 117 as violence continues across the country following the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma. Crowds looting and setting alight shopping centers clashed with police in several cities. The unrest appears to be escalating, and they have sent in 25,000 troops to deploy to help the violence. Chanting freedom and enough and unite, protesters are taking to the streets of Cuba, and that continues as well to demand action from the Cuban government. Cuban historians have said that this hasn't been an organized effort, but the government continue their inaction. Sports, the British Open. It's regularly called the Open. Oh, I ran out of news stuff. I read too much. Colin Morikawa is leading at 9 under. Weather, it's hot. And Todd, I was going to tell you that people yawn 20 times a day, and I think I do 10 of mine in the morning show. That's what we got today.
On average, they yawn,
yes,
20 times a day.
Yes.
Some people, I think, yawn more.
Ah, it could be.
Yeah, there you go. Best Always look forward to Friday mornings when the media czar, Tom McDonald, comes on to speak to us about all things media. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to talk about two things. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the first thing.
Okay. Going in numerical
nice.
Order. One.
Nice. And he's a theology teacher, not a math teacher. Look at him.
I know.
Would it make any sense to start with the second thing? That would make it the first thing. And then, well, we get into a whole philosophical question.
Oh, my.
There we go. Oh.
So I at least twice before, I have talked about the series The Chosen. And so for some listeners, this may seem like beating a dead horse, but to talk about it a third time, but I promise it's not. Because if you're the kind of person who has seen it, then you are probably someone who's been advocating for others to watch it and are happy to hear it promoted again. And if you haven't seen it, then that's kind of who I'm talking to today. The Chosen has finished its second season. It, the season finale aired or was streamed. That would have been maybe a week ago or so, or not quite a week ago. And now they're in the off season, finishing up fundraising for season three. And if you're hearing me talk about this for the first time, The Chosen is a, it's weird to call it a television series because it's not on any traditional television format. It is exclusively streaming on its own app. But it's for lack of a better term, it's a television series about the life of Christ. Now, as I've said before, when people hear this, they think, oh, that's not exciting at all, because I've seen lots of very pious or devout Bible shows in my life, and while they're very well-intentioned, they're boring, or they're poorly acted, or, you know, we know the story, so why should I watch another Bible show? And I say this again, I've said this before, that 95% of Bible shows don't interest me, and I think are not very well done, and are boring. So I'm there with you. You have not, you've heard about The Chosen, but you haven't watched it yet. I understand, because I'm that kind of person too, that I'm highly skeptical of this sort of thing. And I did watch it early on, got very excited about it, talked about it. And for a while, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop as they aired more and more episodes, about the life of Christ, thinking that eventually they're going to really screw this up. They can't maintain this quality forever, that it's going to take a turn, and you know, they'll sort of fall into the sophomore slump in season two or something like that. And I have to say, after watching two full seasons, the show only continues to get better. It continues to improve. They really, Dallas Jenkins, the producer, and his team really know what they're doing. They've really dialed in to what the Christian culture kind of needs from this show, and it just absolutely works. Let me give you some numbers that are kind of interesting about how this has taken off. They crowdfund this show. It's the largest crowdfunded show in history, albeit a short history. More than $10 million has been raised twice for each of the first two seasons to produce them, 8 episodes per season. They have a 7-season plan. They want to take the show through the end of the Gospels, through the entire life of Christ, and, you know, on beyond Pentecost. And so far, this show that does not air on a traditional network, that does not air on a streaming service with other shows, this show that's only available through its own app and website has garnered so far 200 million views.
Wow. What is the website that people can see it at?
It's at vidangel.com, V-I-D-A-N-G-E-L, which I've talked about VidAngel before as its own sort of service of filtering shows. Mm-hmm. Well, they've gotten into producing a lot of their own content now. So you can watch it at vidangel.com. Or really the easiest and best way to do it is to download the Chosen app, and it's just called The Chosen. You download the app, and this is what I do. I'm not a tech-savvy guy at all. This is what I did. I went to the App Store on my phone. I downloaded the Chosen app on my phone. I sat in front of my smart TV in my living room, and there's a little button when the app is open, and you go to play the episode. You start playing the episode on your phone. There's a little button in the top right corner of the screen that's like the little antenna kind of AirPlay button. I tap that. And then my TV's name showed up, my Samsung shows up on my screen, I tap the Samsung, and then poof, it pops from my phone onto my big TV screen. And then that's how we watch the episode. And the best thing about this is, it is crowdfunded, they rely on donations, but all of this is entirely free. There is no, they don't ask your email address, they don't start sending you anything, they don't require subscription, nothing. It's all entirely voluntary. You don't have to give them one bit of information of yours if you don't want to. And it is it's no strings attached whatsoever. All 16 episodes so far available on the app. And it if you've been hearing about this from people and you still haven't gotten around to watching it, really, really, really need to consider this. This show is really, I've never seen anything like it. And the key to why it works is that it's not simply the verses of the Bible being recited by actors on a screen. This takes the story of the gospel and fully enfleshes it in humanity. Fully explores the humanity of Jesus. It makes him someone you'd want to hang around. It fully explores the lives of the apostles as real, flawed men, works in progress, men who have sibling rivalry, men who have debt problems, men who have personality conflict. Matthew is portrayed as perhaps being on the autism spectrum. There's sibling rivalry. Jesus has a sense of humor. I mean, it really, in the context of all of that, to then tell the Bible story gives those stories a depth and a life that I've never seen in any other show before. And it's incredibly moving. It's well acted. It is, I can't say enough about this. And if you haven't started watching it yet, you just have got to do that.
Well, there you go.
I just downloaded the app as Tom was speaking.
Excellent.
See? You're moving somebody here, Tom.
Nice.
All right. Well, and then the other show that concluded this week we talked about a Marvel movie last week, Black Widow. Well, the Marvel Universe is alive and well on the Disney streaming service, Disney Plus, and the series Loki completed its first season, starring Tom Hiddleston, this past Wednesday. It was just a 6-episode season. But the reason I bring it up is, if you're a fan who follows the Marvel Universe, some of these shows are maybe not that pivotal to it, to following what's going on. This show turned out to be very pivotal. So this is kind of a public service announcement. If you're a Marvel, kind of a loose Marvel fan, in order to understand the movies that are coming up down the pike over the next year or few years, the Loki series really sets all of that up. And so it's something you might want to take a look at and watch. I thought it was well done. I thought it was well written, well acted. It's some weird stuff. It's some funny stuff. But I think it's high Marvel quality and something that's worth checking out on Disney Plus if you have a subscription. If not, it's, I believe, going right now is something like $7.99 a month. if you are so inclined, but that's where it is available. And we also had the Emmy nominations come out this week.
Wait. Before we go to the Emmys, hang on. I have a couple questions about Loki, because Angel and I watched it. Is there going to be some sort of explanatory show that will explain what on earth is going on?
You've watched it and you have no idea.
I have no idea, Tom, what's going on.
Well, Todd, I'm not sure what to tell you. I would say it will probably become more clear as time unfolds. But if you're really having a struggle with it, just give me a call later. I'll explain all to you.
Okay. Okay. See, I got the in. Because it was just like, what?
Okay. Talk about the end. No spoilers.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the end. Although I will say I really enjoyed Owen Wilson in there. I wasn't expecting him, and he was hilarious.
I'm sorry, who?
Owen Wilson.
Oh, yeah. He's great, yeah. And he doesn't play exactly his typical Owen Wilson character, but, you know, he's always... He comes off on the screen as a guy who must be one of the most genuinely nicest people in the world. Mm-hmm. He just sort of exudes friendliness. So yeah, he's great in the show.
So yeah, there was a lot of star power. I mean, and it was enjoyable to watch, even though I was pretty much confused 93% of the time.
Well, welcome to my Marvel universe.
Nice. We'll talk. Yeah,
later. I would say. If you try to jump into the Marvel universe with this series, like if you come in cold just watching this, you have absolutely zero idea what is going on. This is for the hardcore fan, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Indeed. All right, the Emmys. Sorry, I cut you off.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Emmy nominations came out this week. The Emmys will air on September 19th, and it covers shows that were released from last summer until this summer, basically. Mm-hmm. And the what's notable is basically the networks have disappeared from the Emmys altogether. This has been happening for a few years now, but if you're looking for ABC, NBC, Fox, you'll find a nomination here or there, but by and large, they're not relevant to the Emmys anymore. And it's not even the cable networks anymore. You know, transition to cable, now those have started to disappear somewhat. And it's all about the streaming services now. So I'll read to you the top shows and services representing the Emmy. HBO and HBO Max, the streaming service, had 130 nominations from their shows.
Wow.
Followed in second place by Netflix, which had 129 nominations. And then in third place was Disney Plus with 71 nominations. And that's, you know, half as many, but it's notable because this is only Disney Plus's second year of eligibility. This is still a brand new service with a limited amount of original content. So they really have made the impression fast. The top shows nominated were The Mandalorian on Disney Plus and The Crown on Netflix. Each had 24 nominations. In third place was WandaVision from Disney Plus with 23 nominations. So I would just like to point out that two of the top three most nominated Emmy shows are Marvel, are Star Wars or Marvel shows. So this is kind of, you know, we're used to in the Emmys, these shows, these obscure artsy shows being nominated that no one sees, right? And same with the Oscars. But here the Emmys this year have tapped into sort of the cultural moment, and the shows being nominated are largely shows that everybody's been buzzing about. So that's kind of interesting this year that maybe viewership will go up at the Emmys because people have actually seen these shows to some degree or another.
Mm-hmm. Will it be where they'll actually be live in person during this event, or is it going to be another stream thing?
I think they are planning on live in person with a crowd there. I think that has gone back to normal. However, you know, L.A., they just announced yesterday that L.A., this weekend, people have to go back to wearing masks indoors. So who knows what things are going to be like come September.
What other notables on there? I see Cobra Kai, which will probably make Mike Romano happy.
Yeah. Yes.
You know it.
I know.
Well, it's funny, Cobra Kai got nominated for Best Comedy, and I saw that and went, well, I guess it's a comedy, but it's also kind of a drama. And I read an interview with the producers. They said the same thing. Like, well, we're glad we're nominated, but we kind of don't fit any one category.
Yeah.
This is true. I would say it's more of a drama than it is a comedy.
Well, yeah. You think
I
didn't watch it.
It's more of a drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Definitely.
Oh, we're cutting Tom McDonald off. We've run out of time.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Take care.
You have a great weekend. Todd Harch is up next. He's got a great book called Time to Build Anew, and we're going to dive into it next here on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay.
We built this city on rock and roll.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio.
It's Friday.
I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor.
Hey,
Mike Great and the Ripster.
Facebook Live's working.
Facebook Live.
We got viewers in the Philippines.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Johan.
Worldwide.
Yes.
Thanks for watching in the Philippines.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
We have with us on the line Todd Harch, who is a professor at
Eastern Kentucky
University, here to speak to us about his book, A Time to Build Anew, How to Find the True Good and Beautiful in America. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
It sounds existential to say good morning, Todd. Am I talking to myself?
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
It's a great name.
It's an awesome name.
We have the Todd question. Is it 1D or 2Ds?
Oh, it's 2.
Okay,
come on.
Just check. Okay.
He does it right.
2, of course.
Exactly. Exactly. See, he and I get each other. We understand each other. Yeah. So what was the impetus behind writing this book, Todd?
Well, you know, if you look around America today, you see a lot of problems. And so at first I was thinking about, you know, writing about everything that's wrong, but you know, people have done that and, I just didn't think it'd be that helpful. And so I realized, you know, what's a better way? Let's think about, providing some examples, people who've done it right, some models, something that's more encouraging. And so I picked 7 of those models. And I've written about them, and my hope is that it will be an encouragement to people that there is a way to live in this crazy society.
Amen. How did you get it down to 7?
Part of it's providential. You know, I had a lot of things in my mind, and I did have to narrow it down. But, you know, sometimes I knew a person, or I had a contact, or I was, one of them is Franciscan University of Steubenville, and they asked me to teach a course, and so I eliminated one of their rivals from my list.
So. That is funny.
Not because it's another great school, but I just realized, you know, I'd write something better about a place I'd actually been to and where I'd met people, that sort of thing.
So are you picking, like 7, instances or institutions or events? Is it, what kind of spectrum of 7 did you pick?
Well, it's a wide range. I have a sculptor named Frederick Hart. I have 2 religious orders. I have a program at a university in Kansas that only lasted for 10 years. So it's a pretty wide range of things. I even included a politician in a city because I wanted to give some hope for politics, because that's an area where I think a lot of people give up hope. And so, yeah, I wanted to provide a wide range.
You know what I love about it, though, Todd, is that it is very eclectic. I like that because seeing – when we say good, true, and beautiful, we're thinking, oh – well, certain aspects. We've got it in our minds. But you've even got the Notre Dame School of Architecture. Mm-hmm. Like, that, to me, is awesome, that you're kind of really opening up your eyes on the landscape to see where we can find things that are beautiful, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we're all different. You know, not all of us are going to be sculptors or artists or architects. You know, we all have our different skills. Not all of us will be teachers. Not all of us will do whatever it is. And so I want to provide a wide range. And then something else that I also wanted to do is just encourage people that sometimes it's possible to save an institution. You know, a few of the stories are of institutions that were not doing very well, like Franciscan University or the Notre Dame School of Architecture. And they were really saved and brought back by people who had vision. And so, you know, we have a lot of institutions in this country that are in crisis, and it might be exactly the time for fresh blood, fresh vision to come in with a vision of the true, the good, and the beautiful.
Indeed, and to think of the longstanding effects. I'm actually a graduate of Franciscan University, both my wife and I, and now my daughter. And what's funny to us is anywhere where we go, when it comes to like church ministry or something, you're always going to find a Franciscan grad. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100% of the time, Todd, it's amazing.
It is so incredible. The impact of that little school in a remote part of Pennsylvania is just, it's remarkable. I mean, you're exactly right. And the fact is that place was about to close. I mean, they were literally putting their dormitories for sale. it was that bad. And it was hardly even a Catholic school by that point. I mean, the faculty had very few Catholics. The students weren't interested. I think at like the opening mass in one of the years in the 1960s, there were 8 people.
Wow.
But yeah, they managed, and now they're that powerhouse that's just sending out graduates around the world, really.
So all 7 of these, are these Catholic institutions or events, or they may be some secular where Catholic infusion of truth and beauty has resonated in them?
Most of them, they're all Catholic.
Okay.
Some of them, like the sculptor Frederick Hart and the mayor of Charleston, Joe Riley, I don't really know how Catholic. I mean, you know, I don't know their prayer life, and I didn't feel it was necessary to find out, everything in here is Catholic, at least to some extent.
What I also love is how inspiring it is, because just as you said, either it's come from like a failed time where it had to be resurrected, or just the like Joe Riley and the revival of Charleston. That to me, that's possible, right, Todd?
Exactly. You know, we take for granted that Charleston is this great American city. It's often rated, you know, the best place in America to visit. But it really wasn't like that as recently as 40 years ago. It was really decrepit. It had serious race problems. It was not a place you'd really want to visit. And really, this one man had the vision of making it a kind, just, beautiful city and just went about doing it. And he was reelected. He was elected as a young man and then 9 more times, and he just poured his heart and soul into making Charleston a beautiful and good city. And, you know, no city is perfect, but I think anybody who's been there would realize, yes, transformation is possible. Mm-hmm. That, you know, people, flesh and blood people like you and me, can turn around a city.
Now, what connection did you have to the 2 women's religious orders, the Sisters of Life and the Dominicans of the Province of St. Joseph?
Okay, well, the Dominicans, that's the male.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
It's not the Nashville Dominicans.
Gotcha.
They were on my list, one I couldn't do. But I didn't have a close connection to the Sisters of Life. I had met a few of the sisters, but I grew up in the New York area, so I was sort of aware of them. And I just thought it was I wanted to give an example of a new religious order, because that's one of my hopes, is that God can inspire people to start new religious orders. That throughout history, when there's been a crisis, God has often provided a new group of religious to meet that need, whether they're teachers or doctors, people who serve the poor, you know, Mother Teresa. And in the United States, where we have this, you know, this crisis, this terrible situation of abortion, God has raised up this new religious order, the Sisters of Life. So I wanted to tell that story. And then the Dominicans were a group where I had met them, and I had just been so inspired by these young men, who are so wise, and so willing to share, what they have.
So, this almost feels like you're going to need a sequel too, Todd, because if you had to narrow it down to seven, and, so I feel like you probably had a couple stacks left on the table of like, oh, they almost made the cut.
I would love to do that. We'll see how this book goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if people like it, I would love to tell more stories because, you know, this sort of reflects, stories that just came across my path that I wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already found, you know, new ones that I would like to tell. And each story speaks to different people. So like, for example, I would never have expected this, but my mother, who's not Catholic, has just been so intrigued by the Sisters of Life. That's been the one that just, it grabbed her and she can't help thinking about it. And my hope is that there'll be a story like that for everybody.
Indeed. And there's always going to be something. Like, I myself can't imagine myself being a sculptor, mm-hmm. but I've always been touched by that form of art simply because when I've watched people chisel away. I
got it, Todd. You like art that can use tools.
Well, it's not just the tools. I get concerned. I get anxious when I'm watching someone chisel.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, if you mess that up, if you
get
hit,
some more
then
marble.
The nose comes off. Like, oh no! So I'm pretty amazed, and I'm not familiar with Frederick Hart, and yet just as we were talking here, I looked him up, and I did not realize that he died at such a young age. I mean, I'm 53; he died at 55. So now I'm intrigued by his story, Todd.
Yeah. So this guy who just he wanted to be a sculptor, like a traditional sculptor, and he had no one to teach him. And the only thing he could do was get a job at the National Cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral, which was the last cathedral built in the Western world. And he was just a clerk because that was the only job he could get. And finally he convinced the Italian craftsman to give him a job as, you know, the lowliest level of sculptor. And then he went on to win this contest and become probably the greatest American sculptor of the 20th century. And in the process of that, he converted to Catholicism. And I think it was that there is this connection between beauty and the truth, and therefore between beauty and the Catholic faith. And so, yeah, I encourage you and the listeners to take some time, and you can just look up his name and see some of his sculptures online.
They're absolutely beautiful.
I think this is a great book at this time because it gives people hope that things can turn around. A lot of people, they turn on the news today, and it looks like there is no solution to some of the problems coming across our screens. And so you just kind of click it off and go, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. And to highlight just some of these groups where beauty is bursting forth in the culture and in society and making a difference. And that's got to be edifying to those that will come behind them, because we can't stop. We have to move forward, and we have to move forward creating beautiful things in our culture, in our politics, in our art, in our cities, in our universities. All of those things, because there's no standing still in this chaos.
Yeah, and I think you're totally right that this culture today tends to magnify the ugly, the scandal, the bad in general. And if you could easily get the picture from just being online or watching your screen somewhere, that things are so bad that there's no hope. And the fact is, there are these stories. There's men and women doing amazing things who are transforming lives all over the country. And I want people to know that. And I'm also speaking to myself, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I can easily get into a spiral of despair and anger. And it's not very helpful. It's not very fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to live like that?
Amen.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the Integrated Humanities Program that was at the University of Kansas.
Incredible story, especially for me as a professor. You know, so there are these three professors who started basically a great books program. And they taught the books as true. That is, you know, they would find the elements of truth in them and then really magnify them. And through that very simple process, they saw dozens, it might even be over 100 conversions to Catholicism. It became a scandal to the whole school. Other professors got upset that, you know, why is this so popular? Why are all these students coming? Why are they converting to Catholicism? And so it was eventually shut down after about 10 years. But the fruits of it are incredible. And we have two bishops today who went through that program. We have many priests and religious. And it was just professors who sought the truth and taught the truth and loved their students. And the effects of that were so profound that for me as a professor, it's a real inspiration.
That cracks me up.
Yeah, I know.
I just think that
beauty
that
and
is
truth.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's causing scandal.
Scandal.
Why are they coming? Why are they converting? It's like,
well, that's the
simple equation, Todd. Simple equation.
That's the antithesis of what some universities are striving for, which is more of in the realm of chaos. So that's nice to hear. The book is called Time to Build Anew. By Todd Harch. And Todd, we hope you come back and we can dive into some of these groups. I think it'll be a very interesting conversation in future weeks.
Yeah, I'd really like to do that. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thanks, Todd.
Great, thank you. You can get a lot of other places where books sold. Final segment Friday, Todd. We're going to dive into the Sunday Gospel Reflection with Father Mateo Ruzek. Ruzek? I said it
wrong. Father Mateo Ruzek.
I'm just going to...
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, like the greats at the Command Center. We have with us on the line Father Mateo Ruzek, who is the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul in Tallahassee and St. Joseph in Tuskegee. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us. Got a nice short...
Yes, sir.
It's Mark. Aren't the Gospels relatively short?
Well, even though it's only 16 chapters, you could have a long excerpt from it, but this is a short Gospel for this coming, the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Ready to dive in, Father?
Yes, sir.
All right, go right ahead.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, I lost my thought already. Well, two things that really bother me here in the good way. First one is that I will have a more challenging one. So Jesus sees the people as a sheep without shepherd, which, you know, it sounds like, all right, people didn't take care of them, that the leaders were not doing a good job. But that wasn't really the case. Like, Jewish leaders of that time were very, very zealous for God. They were doing a lot. They were doing way more than they're supposed to be doing, I would say, caring for God's covenant. The problem was that they were missing the point of what God wanted them to do. Mm. And so that's why Jesus had so much trouble with leaders there, because they were zealous over wrong things and not really getting the God's vision for his people. And that's like something that speaks to me personally, but also I think applies to all of us, because we are all in charge of something, or of the families, workplaces, ministries. We care for others. But I think there's always a risk that as the Jewish leaders miss the point, and they were just so focused on what they had to do, what they think is the best to do, that we may also have this little error there, and we need to keep checking ourselves. Is what I'm really doing here God's will, or this is what I do because of my personality, because I just am afraid to do something out of the box? Oh, no, that's the right word. Maybe. Am I afraid to maybe fight battles with people? Am I afraid to really follow God's will? But yeah, it's just difficult. So I'm doing what's just, I think, just supposed to be done without too many problems. Because that can apply to parents, you know, raising children. It sometimes takes some challenging steps to really do the right thing. For the priest, we can live peaceful ways with people, just doing whatever pleases everyone. We can follow God's will and steal the pot and get some trouble sometimes and make enemies, because what we believe that is really more important. So that's the first thing. Second is about the resting. I think that's the important summer message. Perfect timing for this gospel. I live on the Lake Martin there, and a lot of people come for the rest, for the break. And yeah, they can afford it too. So that helps. But I see many people are burned out because life has so many demands. Your work, your families, kids, school, games, practices. Church needs you for something always. And it's something very difficult for us to find break, to take break, to find time to go away. For vacation, even vacation can be a huge hassle and maybe more work than really. It still takes a lot of energy. But that's important thing, the human needs. We need rest. Need to happen on a regular basis. And then the final rest, the most ultimate fulfilling rest, is rest on prayer. And that's what we should check ourselves. Is my prayer life as a chore for me still? Like, I just trying and it's just I don't really like doing that, but I do it because I know I have to. Or is a prayer place where I most often can find rest? When I can rest with God. When besides struggling with distractions and finding time, I'm really looking for that time to be with God, who knows me, with whom really my heart can rest and find energy back to keep doing whatever I'm doing in my life. That's it.
Amen. It really is a struggle, though, because for many of us, we feel like we've got to do and do and do and do. And I remember years ago, there was a sweet nun one time that we were involved in a social project in New Orleans, and she kept asking the question, and after a while, Father, it even got annoying, because she would say, well, will this cause us to love more? And I'm like, well, of course it will. You know, we're serving the poor. Like, come on.
You're doing.
Come on. Yeah. And she would say, it is best to do less with more love. And I used to get so frustrated with that, Father, because I'm like, come on. I mean, we're talking about feeding people. Like, of course we need to do more. But she I think, had it right, where she would spend a lot of time in prayer. And she's like, it's best to do less and love more.
That's the constant Martha Mary struggle. Like Mother Teresa, she was spending like 3 hours every day in adoration.
Mm.
So she can go to the streets and love the people and see Jesus and everyone there.
Well, I think, too, our world today, you measure things by how many boxes you've checked after the end of your day. Well, I got this done and that done and that done. And it's quantity over quality. And, you know, sometimes we got to put it in prayer. What are the right things I should be doing today? What are the things I should be focusing on? What are the things that are going to be the best or in the will of God? If you're just checking off boxes and doing a checklist, and we always talk about that. Faith is not a checklist of items or prayers to be recited or church groups to attend. It's spreading the love of Jesus Christ in everything you do, whether it's preparing your meal for your family, helping prepare your children's car, anything like that, helping mentoring younger workers at your place of employment. There's all kinds of ways in small tasks that we can be loving and still doing.
Even like at the parish, I see like not too many things resumed besides the most important Eucharist and sacrament after the COVID kind of slows down. And like on one side, not too much happens. On the side, like war, that really has to be always busy. Is that the right thing just to keep doing events, meetings, different little things there? Or it's more important just to try and figure out what really matters for the people, what really makes difference in people's lives and try to do that and just get myself already busy with everything that used to be happening, which wasn't a lot anyway because they're small parishes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, they want just to keep doing things because things have to be happening and so people can say, oh, we do this or do that. Or am I just waiting patient to figure out what's really important, what's really God's heart there for this community here? What really can reach those who are truly in need and not just, you know, keep satisfying those who are good but not really have enough energy to really find the ways to reach those who are lost.
Mm-hmm.
It is important, I think, Father, to keep that in mind because I'm very guilty of this. When I get a task in my head, I mean, I've got to complete it. So I'll be on the ladder with a tool in my hand and I'm working. And then one of my kids will say, hey, Dad, do you want to do fill in the blank?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my initial reaction is absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at me. I'm on a ladder. I've got a drill in my hand, Ellen.
Oh.
But I know if I take the time to ask God, what should I be doing? Normally, the answer is get off the ladder and go get ice cream with your son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a bad time to do ice cream. I would just add that talk.
Except when you've got so much to do, it's hard. It's hard to balance it out, Father. It's hard.
Yeah. Between the urgent and important. Yeah.
Yes. And I think we've mislabeled a lot of tasks in today's world on what's urgent or essential.
Because we think it's all urgent.
It's all, yes. My to-do list is 52 pages long.
Nice.
Father Mateus, can we have a blessing before you leave?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, you are a giver of every blessing in our lives. I ask to bless and strengthen, guide all the listeners. May we all be able to see your beauty, your plan for our lives, and your love in everything. Mighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father Mateus, have a great weekend.
Go in peace.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. You too. Great. God bless.
We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover & Associates. They're an engineering firm offering plant design and layout for churches, schools, shipyards, material handling facilities, and more. Call CMG&A at 251-433-1611 or go to cmg-a.com. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, Professor Anthony Nussmeier talks about 100 Days of Dante. We'll welcome your friend Burke Ingrafia to share about the Catholic Song Contest. And John Johnson, we'll talk with him. He had that Batman class talking about Batman and the Catholic faith. He returns to
Ellen
talk about
that.
Magnus.
Ellen loves all that kind of stuff.
I don't even know how to write.
Secretly, she has a comic book collection, I think.
Batman and Catholicism. I'm waiting to hear the connection on that one.
Thanks so much for listening. Yeah. LA Catholic Morning. Have a great weekend. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.